1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Move it this way. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. You can just leave that alone and do what you're supposed to do here. Our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen, is simply titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 90. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, you may be seated. We are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about temptations to certain sins. We're looking at what the Bible says about these sins so we can be aware of the dangers of yielding to the temptation. Don't worry about that. Just do what you're supposed to do. Of falling into these sins. And so that we can hide scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted to commit these sins, which are common to all mankind, all across this country and in every country of the world. The sin that we are looking at today is the sin of sloth, of laziness, and also today particularly of not only having a slothful mentality and a lazy mentality, but also not having the right heart and the right attitude and spirit while working, which is akin to laziness and slothfulness. And so we're going to deal with that today. This is the fourth sin in a list of 12 temptations that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed and created by monks in the early church called the Seven Deadly Sins or the Cardinal Sins. Okay, you can just go ahead on. If you have this ready now? I can't hear you. Okay, you need to go ahead and get that passed on up and go ahead and get in your position. The cardinal sins. The second source is a Barna survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations that Americans admitted to struggling with. And so today we will be looking at Colossians, actually. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. As we are still dealing with some cardinal sins, sins that so easily beset us, sins that are common to man, and we're dealing with the sin of sloth and laziness, and the spirit of sloth and laziness, which was evidenced this morning, even right here. And something that is a very close akin to sloth and laziness, and that is not doing things heartily with the right heart, the right attitude, and the right spirit. Not doing things with enthusiasm and with excitement as unto the Lord. Isn't it amazing how that people can go to church on Sunday morning and sit like bumps on a log, can't even get a holy grunt out of them, much less an amen. But as soon as they go to the Rangers game or to the Dallas Cowboy game, they have already painted their faces. They've changed their clothes into some weird looking clothes. And they have bullhorns. They have streamers. They have balloons. They have hot dogs and hamburgers. They're grilling in the back of their vehicle. And they are shouting to the top of their ability and screaming and going crazy. That's doing what you're doing heartily. You're excited about it. And the children of God, if you're going to serve God, and quite frankly, this is across the board. Because everything you do ought to be done for the glory of God. And you ought to do it well, and you ought to do it enthusiastically, and cheerfully, and joyfully, or you ought not to do it at all. And so whatever you do it with enthusiasm. And this is connected with laziness and slothfulness. Because people who are lazy and slothful, you will find that they're not excited about nothing. They're not enthusiastic about anything. They don't want to do anything. And they're certainly not excited about any kind of work. These are sad, defeated, deadbeat individuals. And you want to get away from these people as far as you can, because they will bring you down. So verse 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So it does not matter whether you receive a reward from man. What matters is that you do things in such a way that you receive a reward from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in these verses, Paul reveals the manner in which believers should work. Not only should you work, and don't get mad because and think that somebody's picking on you. I mean, that's how many people feel in the church. But I don't care what church you go to. If it is a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, God-honoring, Holy Spirit-filled church, if you have some areas that are wrong in your life, you will come under conviction no matter who's preaching and no matter what they're preaching about. God will find you. It's kind of like God has a radar. And no matter what church you try to run to, God's going to bring what needs to be brought to your heart and to your mind. You can run, but you can't hide. So don't think somebody's picking on you if you're lazy, if you're slothful, if you're not excited about getting up in the morning. If you do your work, in the words of my dad, in a half-ass fashion, and cause confusion and cause problems in the church services or any other or on the job or whatever the case might be, then you need to repent of that, because God is depending on you, and others who need to hear the gospel are depending on you. normally the people who have the Judas spirit are lazy and slothful. And they're not excited about the things of God or serving God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But you give them some kind of opportunity to go to a special movie or restaurant, they're very excited and very enthusiastic. And that'll let you know where you are spiritually. If you get excited about worldly things and fleshly things that don't mean anything, but you never are excited about God and Jesus and serving God, there's something wrong. When you must understand that every, as a child of God, everything you do is a service unto God, or it should be. And you ought to do it cheerfully and joyfully. As we have already established, my beloved, working is good. I would not give you 2 cents for a person who does not understand the value of work. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a person who thinks that it is somehow better to lay on your lazy behind all day in your robe and watch the boob tube, as we used to call it. There's nothing wrong with watching a little television after you have done something as a reward. There's nothing wrong with eating a good meal after you have accomplished something as a reward. But laying around and being lazy and slothful, not excited about nothing, should not take the place of work. And by the way, there are some people who need to get a job because they don't have the discipline to work their own business. You need to get a job. You need for a master to make sure you come to work on time, that you only spend 45, you only spend 30 minutes on your lunch break and 10 minutes on your little bathroom breaks, and that you do what you're supposed to do. And watch you and keep you working. But God never said you have to work a job for somebody. God said you need to work. And you'll be better off, as I've said before, in America, because this is the American way, by starting your own business and working hard at that. Mark Cuban, who's a billionaire, said, I would rather have my own business and make $50,000 a year than work for somebody and make $100,000 a year. Boom, there you go. So working is good, but you ought to be enthusiastic about working. It is even better if the work is done with the right heart, the right enthusiasm, the right attitude, the right spirit. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? Louder in the back, can somebody say amen? Don't let the devil get you mad because of your own sin, your own foolishness, your own failure, your own Judas spirit, your own lack of enthusiasm about serving God. And remember now, if you are a child of God, everything you do, don't take it personally. Everybody must abide by this. Everything you do is for the glory of God, or should be for the glory of God. Amen, somebody. Louder in the back, amen, somebody. What should be the attitude, what should be the spirit of the believer in Christ while working for somebody or working for yourself? You ought to do it heartily. That means you ought to be fired up and ready to go. And by the way, my beloved, if you can't give that man that you're working for 100%, if you're dragging in there with a donut and a cup of coffee, fussing and mad as the devil and complaining about the work conditions, then you ought to quit because you're not doing the right thing. And I'm amazed. I am amazed at how bosses put up with some really bad stuff from so-called employees that they're paying. Skating and messing around on the job, stealing, purloining from the boss. I told you all about a dear preacher friend of mine. I love him in the Lord, but I told him he was wrong. He worked as a janitor at a university, and he would steal, and there's no other thing to call it but stealing. He would steal the paper towels. He never bought any paper towels for many years for his house. He stole them from the school, from the closet, stole them right in front of me. Tried to give me some. I said, I don't want that contraband. Don't give me none of that. And back then, toilet paper was cheaper than what it is today. Today, you can go down to Dollar General and get some great toilet paper, six rolls for a dollar. Back in those days, you can get it for 50 cents. And yet, he would keep on, and you know, the good kind of paper towels. I mean, the kind you'd get in the public bathrooms, you just take one and you can dry your hand real quick. Very absorbent. Better than Brawny in the grocery store. He was wrong. And he would laugh it off and tell my shoe, man, they owe me this. This is my reparations. No, you can't do that, my brother. That's wicked. I'm amazed at how, the people keeping inventory, I know they knew that he was stealing. And we have employees who do that today. They steal from their bosses. They come in late and leave early. Lunch break is 30 minutes, they stay for an hour. Lie on the time cards. Call in sick when they really want to go to the movies with somebody. The believer should work heartily as unto the Lord. The Greek word translated as heartily is psuche, or psyche. Nearly 100 times in the New Testament, this word is rendered soul or life. In other words, put your all into it. Some of you right now who are serving the Lord in this ministry, you have to ask yourself, are you putting your all into it for the glory of God? Or you're just doing a little something to be seen of man. Because if you're doing it for God and for the glory of God and Jesus Christ, you'll give it your all, or you should give it your all. And if you don't, shame on you. Amen, somebody. I don't serve man, so it doesn't matter to me whether man is listening or participating or they mad at me. I'm a firm believer in what God told Ezekiel. Don't be concerned about their faces. I'm going to serve God whether you come or not. I'm going to serve God whether there's a crowd of 10,000 or a crowd of 10 or a crowd of 2 or 3. Makes no difference to me. None whatsoever. And I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And it's really not me doing it heartily as unto the Lord. So I can't get any credit for it. It is the God in me, the Christ in me. And the Christ in you is the one who ought to make you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And to do it with some enthusiasm and some excitement, some energy. And so this is the only time, ladies and gentlemen, it is translated heartily. It means breath, the breath of life, giving your all, doing your best. my baby daughter, who has been a part of the National Bible Bee, Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White. Looks like she's going back again because she poured her heart into it and studied hard. I didn't have to tell her. I didn't have to make her. She did it as unto the Lord. And she might be going back to the Nationals. You pray for her. Why? Because she did it as unto the Lord. She did her best for the Lord. And she is our best soul winner in our ministry. She does it not because it is always fun to do it. She does it because she's doing it for the Lord. And when you're doing it for the Lord, my beloved, you will continue doing it. Can somebody say amen? If you're doing it for the Lord, you will be faithful at doing it. No matter whether it rains or shines, you're going to get it done. No matter if other people are doing it or not, whether they're enthusiastic or not, you're going to get it done. You're going to stay faithful. You're going to move on. And what is required is a pure heart, as we have talked about in the past. You need to maintain a pure heart, a right spirit, as we will be sharing even more so today. It will not matter whether somebody pats you on the back or gives you a reward. That's really meaningless to you if it does not come from the Lord. You won't say it, but you can say, yeah, I'm going to do this whether you give me a pat on the back or not. I'm going to serve God whether you try to give me a reward or an award or not. I can assure you, really, your little pat on the back, your little certificate, your little plaque, your little trophy, it really does not mean anything to me, because I'm going to do this regardless. Amen, somebody. I'm going to, as they used to say, keep on keeping on for the Lord, whether you support me or not, whether you stand with me or not, whether you pay me or not. I'm going to do it because I'm doing it heartily as unto the Lord. So the word heartily means breath, the breath of life, the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing, that in which there is life. See, the reason why I never take credit for any good work done in the ministry is because I know the one who motivates me. I know the one who pushes me. I know the one who leads me and who actually does the work in me and through me. We have learned a long time ago is all about availability. It's all about availability, not anything that we can bring to the table. Whatever gifts and talents I have, and they are few, God is the one who gave me the gifts. The Holy Spirit brings out in the Word of God how that He asks the question, if everything you have was given to you, why are you proud and arrogant? Why do you think you're all that in a bag of chips? You're not. You're nothing. We're nothing without God, people. God is the one who makes us even to be serving Him heartily as unto the Lord. That's all driven by the power of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Can somebody say amen? Charles Spurgeon put it best when he said, it's all of grace, all of grace. And when you understand that, you can move on down the road with the Lord. Scripture is telling us that the believer should work with all his heart and all his soul. He should not work half-heartedly. Rather, he should put his life into his work, his everything. The way we say it today is, he left it on the field, or she left it on the field. See, when you leave it on the field, you don't have to look back. You don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to put your head down in shame and wallow in pain when you leave it all on the field, when you have done your best. You might be bloodied. You might be scarred. But if you leave it on the field, whether you win or lose the battle, you got peace in your soul. You gave God your all. Amen, somebody. There are many parents today who are sad and defeated and disgusted. You know why? Because they didn't give it their all in raising their children. And now they don't even know their children, and their children don't know them and don't want to get to know them, because they did not leave it on the field in raising their children. I thank God. God gave me the wisdom through the negative experience I had with my own parents that children need you there. And they need for you to be there throughout their lives. And so therefore I have no guilt about raising my children whatsoever, because I left it all on the field. I did all I could to raise them the proper way. And even though we're not perfect, I have peace in my soul before God Almighty. I did the best I could. And I'm not worried about a thing. I'm not worried about a child turning out bad or anything like that, because I left it all on the field, and I'm leaving it all on the field. I'm giving it my all for the glory of God. I had the opportunity to continue traveling around the world and preaching the gospel. But when I saw that my wife was not being the kind of mother she should have been, God led me to come off the road and do ministry locally so that I can be there for my children. One of the greatest decisions one of the greatest leadings of the Lord in my life, the most important probably that most important thing that I chose to do in the past 40 years of ministry, where so many of my preacher friends continued on striving for things in the ministry and totally forsaking their families and leaving it to the wife. Now their children are walking disasters. And God does not want that. That's not God's will. He wants your children to be serving the Lord even after they leave home. And I am so proud of two have gotten their degrees, multiple degrees, and have gone on, have traveled the world and have shared the gospel. And while they're young, as I did, and they're learning things they would never learn otherwise. And so I give God the glory for that. And if you have young children, may I lovingly encourage you to spend time with those children from the day they're born. Have a relationship with those children. Stop letting the devil deceive you into thinking, and you know it's a lie, for the devil is a lie, that your job is just to provide money and material things for your children. That's not the case. As you will hear later on today, in my next message, they need you. They want to know you while they're young. They want you to do your job while they're young, because they can do the job when they get older. They will get to a point real quick where they will not need your help. And so, if you fail to be there for them when they need you, you will fail being the parent you should be. Leave it on the field. Leave it all on the field so that your conscience is clear. You tell them everything that God gives you to tell them. You chastise them when they're wrong. You warn them of the evil that is in them and that comes from you and your ancestors. You tell them the truth. You leave it all on the field. Stop passing on your responsibility to other people, trying to toss your children here and there so you can go and do what your selfish self wants to do. Leave it all on the field in every area of your life. If your thing is playing football, play it hard. Don't half step. You're going to get your leg broken. If your thing is music, play it hard. Don't half step. Do it for the glory of God. Give it your all. If that's your gift, get it done. Leave it all on the field so that you can have a clear conscience, whether you win or lose, whether you're blooded and beat up or not. You've done the best you could. If you're into computers, if that's your thing, or writing, play it hard and give it all for the glory of God. Anything you are called to do, do it with all of your might. That's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you're going to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. Go ahead and study for the tests. Pass the tests. Stop messing around. Stop wasting time. If you're going to be a doctor, be a doctor. If you're going to write a book, write the book and leave it all on the field. Do the best you can. Fight hard. Like the little girl I heard this morning who has cerebral palsy and she can't walk. She said with a smile, "I fight all the time." She said with a smile, "I fight all the time." She said, "I'm fighting to walk. I fight all the time." Little girl! We got grown men who don't want to fight at all. According to the job site Hired.com, over half of American adults say they are unsatisfied with their place of work. Some blamed company culture. Some blame being underpaid. Some blamed loathsome sexual harassing bosses and co-workers. Unsatisfied workers do not put their all into their tasks. They do just enough to get by, but they're unsatisfied because they are not doing a satisfying job. They're not giving their all. See, it doesn't matter where you're working. It matters whether or not you're willing to give your all for the glory of God. Because this passage is rooted in an environment during that time of slavery. There were over 60 million slaves during that time, some say. And slaves were exhorted in their situation. Yes, Paul said, if you can get your freedom, get your freedom. But if you are a slave, be the best slave you can be. Similar to what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can be. Amen, somebody. See, it doesn't matter what job you're working. If your mind is made up that you're going to glorify God in it and you're going to do it heartily as unto the Lord, you'll be fine. And so if you are unsatisfied with your place of work, by all means, seek a place where you can be satisfied. But you can be satisfied anywhere if you do a satisfying job. We have so many people saying, well, I want to go to Harvard. I want to go to Yale. I want to go to the University of Pennsylvania. I want to go to an Ivy League school. It really doesn't matter what school you go to. It matters about the person who's going to the school. For there are many people who have gone to schools that are not that prestigious or not that old, who turn out to do greater things than people who went to these prestigious schools. So if you are unsatisfied with your place of work, by all means, seek a place where you can be satisfied in your mind. But you can be satisfied anywhere. until you reach that place that you think you'll be satisfied at, work heartily where God has you at this time. And this is so important. For we have a nation of dreamers. They're in a situation right now, but they don't make the best of the situation they're in, somehow thinking foolishly that when they get to where they want to go or they think they want to go, they will make the best of that. It doesn't work that way, dear friend. If you're not doing your best right now where you are, you're not going to do your best someplace else. Oh, you will try to fake it around certain ones, but you're not. Because your character is flawed. Because you are not just working to please your boss. You are working to please the Lord. Everything you do should be done as unto the Lord, not unto men. Work heartily because your boss can give you a paycheck that will last you maybe a week, maybe in many cases a few days, in some cases just a day, and in some cases just an hour. As soon as your check is you cash it, it's gone. But the Lord gives rewards that last throughout eternity. And so, beloved, if you struggle with the sin and the temptation of sloth and laziness, which is connected also to not being enthusiastic about your life and your work, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are constantly attacked by the devil. We were attacked harder today, I believe, because of the Judas spirit in some. And I also believe because certain ones did not have their guard up to prevent the issue and the problem. But Lord, help them to learn to always be prayerful, to always be sober-minded, to always be vigilant. We know the devil is mad, but by your grace, I'm glad. And I thank you, Lord, for this tremendous message that can change somebody's life if they would take heed to it from your holy word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's all you. And so therefore you should receive all of the glory, praise, and honor. And we thank you for two services already this morning, really three. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done in spite of the devil fighting against us, in spite of the demonically led Judas spirit fighting against us. Those who, as the Bible says in the New Testament, who oppose every good work. They can't stand any good work. And those are good Christian people who not paying attention, not on point, not sober-minded, not vigilant, not watchful. And Lord, help everybody who is saved to be on point, to keep their heart and mind stayed on you. And everything we do, help us to do it cheerfully and joyfully, and heartily as unto you, according to your holy word, not our feelings, not from the exhortations of man, but according to your holy word. You tell us, you have told us to do this. So help these people not to take this personally from the preacher, and to not foolishly think that they're being picked on, but to humble themselves and understand this is your eternal holy word. And they need to choose to obey it by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Have everything we do until the day we die be done heartily as unto you, cheerfully and joyfully, enthusiastically, no matter what kind of job we work, for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and friend, in the free pardon of your sins, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Understand that you are a sinner, as I am, and as is the Pope and everyone else who has ever been born into this world. We are all sinners, for the Bible says, God said in His Word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know the Bible is the Word of God when it tells the whole world, everybody born into this world, red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in God's sight, but He tells all of us that we're sinners. He's the only one who knows that. If we didn't get that from the Bible, we would refute that all across this country and around the globe. I can see right now philosophers sitting on their stools debating that issue if a man said it. But God is the one who said it, and He knows all of us. And so He's the only one who can make a statement like that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we're all on the same level. We're all in the same boat. And so because of our sin, there is a punishment awaiting us if we don't trust Christ as Savior. Punishment is a place called hell, eternal hell, or the eternal lake of fire. And we will suffer throughout eternity if we don't trust Christ as Savior. That's bad news, but I have good news for you, for the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, dear friend, if you want a new life, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that if you trust Christ, your life is going to be so wonderful. It will be better because of Christ, but you will have hard times in your Christian life. Through much tribulation, the Bible says that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And so in this tribulation and this trouble that we go through and these temptations are for our good, to make us to be more like Christ. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you're going to get rich if you trust Christ as Savior, that your family is going to be wonderful and perfect if you trust Christ as Savior. All of these things should be better, but you will. The truth is, you will have trouble as a Christian, and you may even get persecuted. I'm just going to shoot straight with you and tell you the truth. But you still should believe on Christ and believe that He died for your sins. He suffered, He bled, and He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And all you have to do is believe in Him and pray and ask Him to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're ready to get saved, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I confess that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by dishonesty, by lusting after people and things, by dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, taking your name in vain and stealing. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, including sins that I did not mention. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and praying and asking him to save you. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.